Welcome to the Free and Open Source Software Podcast Series featuring presentations from the FOSS-VT Conference at Lake Morian Resort.
This year's podcasts were recorded and produced by Tech Savvy Kids from St. Albans, Vermont. This episode features our keynote speaker, Randy Orwin. Hope you enjoy it.
Cover. So, just real quick, for just a few seconds, who is this guy? That's a little bit of what I've done in the past 25 years in education. I'm an educator first and foremost, 14 years in the classroom, and I tell people just about everything other than English, because I'm terrible at English. But I've taught just about everything that you can think of, because I worked in a school district that was 2,500 kids and spanned 2,500 square miles in the desert in Utah. But I've done a lot of stuff with technology, and you can see that up there. So you can kind of read through that stuff, but I wanted you to kind of know that I've been in the trenches and I've been where you guys are at, or where you want to go. I've been there. So I'll talk a little bit about where I'm from. I'm from Bainbridge Island, and it's an island in the Puget Sound, just right straight across the water from Seattle. So if you're standing at the ferry terminal and you look across the water, you're looking at Bainbridge Island. We have a bridge that I come across every day to get on the island from the other side of Seattle, because I can't afford to live on the island. The island is kind of a suburb of Seattle, and it's full of CIOs, CTOs, CEOs, and probably more attorneys per capita than any place on the planet. When I started teaching there, and my first year I taught there two periods a day, plus I was the tech director, we had four attorneys on the school board. And school board meetings would start at 5:30, and we would never get done before 11. And so it was a brutal thing with all these attorneys on the island. So it's a very different place. And so I made the assumption when I took the job there, hey, this is gonna be awesome. I'm gonna have so much money to spend in technology that I'm just gonna be in heaven. When I got there, it was a different story. Because as we all know, funding is tied to how many kids you have on free and reduced lunch. And that's a bad thing. In Illinois, in our state, it's definitely how many kids are on free and reduced lunch. So out of 299 school districts, we're about 260th on per pupil FTE funding. Very, very low. I'm going to be drinking a lot of water today. I'm on some medication that makes me really, really dry mouthed. So, please excuse me. So, that's kind of where our island was. And so, I got there and my entire tech budget for the whole school district of about 4,000 kids was $108,000. I couldn't even do a Microsoft school agreement license. I didn't have enough money in the budget to do school agreement. So, we said, we got to find another way to provide services to teachers, kids, and families. And we started looking at open source early on. One of the things that's interesting is we're 29 miles by road from the Microsoft campus in Redmond. If we go by where the crow flies, it's just a little bit less than 20 miles straight to the Microsoft campus. I have Microsoft people that live on the island, and I've had some conversations with some Microsoft folks. But 2 years ago, I was at a conference called ACPE, and I did an open source overview on what we were doing in the district. And there was 400 people at the conference, 70 chairs in my room, and we squished 150 people into the room. So it was very, very well attended. Thursday night, a friend of mine who is very Microsoft friendly, who's been trying to get me to move to Microsoft for years, she's like, I need you to meet this guy. And come to find out, this guy was the educational sales rep on the inside for Microsoft for the Northwest and Alaska. And he came and he sat down at the table and he leaned over and he looked at my name tag and he said, oh, you're the open source guy. And I said, yeah, that's me. How do you know that? And he says, because everybody at this conference is talking about the session that you did yesterday morning. And then he said, it probably wouldn't do me good to try and talk shop over dinner. I said, you can talk all you want, but you're right. It's not going to do you a lot of good because I can't afford your products. And so we live right there in Microsoft's backyard, and a lot of schools are moving to open source in our area. And so a lot of times I call myself public enemy number one for education for Microsoft, because they're not real pleased because a lot of people are moving to OpenOffice and some of the other open source applications. And so it's been interesting to try and do open source in Microsoft's backyard. And I can't knock Microsoft. They have good products now and then. But I can't afford them. So we got to go someplace else. So let's move on. So who are you? Some real quick things. How many teachers do we have in the audience? Great. Tech directors? All right. Any superintendents? I've yet to do a conference where there was a superintendent sitting in the audience. Those are the people we need to be sitting in these audiences so that we can do that. Paraeds. I don't know what you call them out here, but these are kind of the teacher assistants in the classroom. Do we have anybody like that here? Okay, great. How many technicians? How many true geeks? That's what we're looking for. There we go. Open source junkies? Do we have any true junkies here? Okay, I see a few in the back. Anybody that fits in a category I didn't talk about? Okay, over here. Library Media Specialist. I should have put those people up there. I was a Library Media Specialist for 2 years. Principals. So leaders. Those are the people you got to get to come here.
Director of Instruction.
Okay, and that's a good one too. People that make decisions are the ones that you need to befriend so that they can help you do what you need to do. Yes?
One more. Integration Specialist.
Integration Specialist. Oh, I wish I had some of those in my district. If you've got Integration Specialists in your building or in your district, you are in a position that's just wonderful. So, let's talk about why open source. For us, it came down to dollars from the very beginning. It was, how much is it going to save us to move forward? And we started out with OpenOffice, and I was taking notes at a meeting with I have two committees, one of teachers and one of parents, and I took notes at these meetings, and at the end of the meeting I said, let's talk about switching from Microsoft Office to OpenOffice. And everybody panicked and said, oh no, that's not going to work, we can't go there, it's going to be too different. And I was taking notes on a projector on the screen, and I said, what have I been using to take notes for the last 3.5 hours? And everybody said, oh, that's Word. And I said, good guess, but that's not right. This is OpenOffice Writer. I said, let me show you the differences and the similarities. And I just went through and showed some of those quick things. And everybody went, wow, it looks just like Word. And I said, you're right, looks just like Word. And I said, here's the deal. We're using Office 2000 Professional right now, and we're starting to see issues with documents coming in that we can't open because we have an old version of Word. And I said, for us to upgrade to Word and go to school agreement just for the Office suite, we're going to have to pay $60,000 every year from this year forward. I said, here's a deal for you. If you'll help us make the transition to OpenOffice, then I promise I will take every penny of that $60,000 and I will put it in teacher professional development. And it took all of 3 seconds for everybody to go, that's a great idea, because we've never had any money for professional development. I don't have money in my regular tech budget for professional development. We've never done teacher training that was paid for through the technology department. So very, very difficult situation in trying to get teachers trained and up to speed. One of the things that's really fun, I'm going to go to this YouTube video and hope this is going to work. Can you hear it? That's not real loud. Okay, let's see here. Okay, I don't know if you actually heard everything they said. Did everybody hear that? Okay, I'll just kind of give you a brief overview. One was proprietary software and one was open source software. And they were talking about things, and the proprietary guy says, I got this document here, but you won't be able to read it because you're open source. And the open source guy takes it and looks at it and says, oh, hey, this is a spreadsheet. I can do spreadsheets. And the proprietary guy says, you can read that? And the open source guy says, yeah, I can read that, and I can read Lotus Notes, and I can read just about anything out there. And the proprietary guy tears it away, and he says, even my little brother can't read this. It was Office 2007 document, and as we experienced with our Office 2000, we'd get DocX files, and no way could we open those files in Office 2000 until Microsoft came out with a plugin that you could load to be able to do that. So we told teachers, when you get DocX files, use OpenOffice. It'll open them just fine. And so that kind of helped us get through some of those things. But I found that spoof just probably about a week ago, and so really kind of fun. There's a couple of them like that. Another reason why we want to use open source is we can edit the source code. How many coders do we have in here that are actually working on projects? Okay, great. Anybody have students here that are actually working on projects? We got a couple. That's awesome. Two more over here. That's something that we should be doing with our students in our computer classes at probably from the middle level and up. Or if you got really bright 6th, 5th, and 6th graders, they can be doing the same thing. But it's definitely something that can be done. We're a big Moodle shop in our district, and there were some issues with Moodle, and I said, I don't like the way Moodle does this. When you did import, we didn't have email addresses for 4th graders. And we don't provide email addresses for kids. And I didn't think about it, and we uploaded all these kids into the system, and then as the email administrator, I was getting 400 email messages an hour of bad addresses. And I'm like, oh, this really sucks. And realized that when we uploaded those accounts, we added the email addresses, but we didn't disable email to those accounts. So Moodle's trying to send out all those email addresses, and as the postmaster, I got all of those cool messages. And I said, this is not good. And this was just with one class of kids. And they were doing forum discussions. And every time they posted, I got an email from all 32 kids. And I went, oh, this is terrible. We got to fix this. Well, at that point in time, there wasn't a way on the file upload to automatically turn email off. And so I went into the PHP file that dealt with the upload, the script that did that. And I added that parameter to the script that said automatically turn the email off and made it a parameter that you could actually set in that CSV file that you use to upload all those names. If I were using a competing product of the proprietary kind, there's no way I could have done that. And it was great. Next time I uploaded a bunch of kids, everything was great. I didn't get a single email that was bounced because that address didn't exist. So that's another good thing. No. Got to make sure I'm still on time here. So edit the source code. That's great. And if you got kids that can help you out, that's even better. This is probably the biggest reason that I absolutely love open source. Equity for all kids. And what I mean by equity is every one of your students can use the same software at home that you use in the school district. And it doesn't matter whether they use Windows, Macintosh, or Linux at home, they get the exact same applications. This is a huge selling point. How many of you have had kids bring documents to your classroom created with Works? Of course, because Works come as a freebie on every computer that you can buy. What's the problem with Works? Oh, this guy says it sucks. What's that? You agree. Well, the biggest problem with Works is the only program that will open it is the version of Works that was used to create it. Not even Word will open a Works file. And we have kids bringing that stuff to school every day because they can't afford to buy a full Microsoft Office suite. In most communities, in my community, everybody has Office 2007 already. You know, as soon as it came out, they all upgraded. And then we were dealing with DocX files. And they bring them in, and teachers would totally freak out. Kid's here to do his presentation, and it doesn't work. And I said, that's a problem. So by doing open source, every kid has the same software that you have at school. And the OS doesn't matter because we picked stuff that runs on all three platforms. I'm going to do a bird walk here real quick and talk a little bit about the OS side. In our environment, we have about 200 Linux machines, and they fill a very small niche role of general computing, and they're LTSP labs in all of our libraries. We run Edge Ubuntu on the server. And that's great. And I had a discussion with a Linux guy at the K-12 Open Minds Conference in Indiana last October, and we got a little bit into it about, you know, open source is Linux, and we should be running Linux on everything. And I said, I disagree. If I'm passionate about Linux, that's a great thing. But I'm not just a Linux guy. I'm an educator first, and I need to talk about what happens in the classroom. How many of your students use Inspiration or Kidspiration? Okay, is there an open source product that's as good? What? I have spent a lot of time trying to find something that will work with those elementary kids in the open source world, and there's nothing that compares. There's absolutely nothing that compares. And when you talk to the Inspiration people, it's like, does it run on Linux? No. Do you plan on running it on Linux? I can't talk to you about that. You know, I finally got some information that, yeah, they might be working on a Linux port of that application. How many of you use Pasco or Vernier software in your science labs? Does it run on anything other than Windows? Sometimes it's very difficult to get that stuff to work on other OSs. So we're doing what I call a stealth Linux rollout. And we're providing all these applications that run on top of Windows, Mac, or Linux. And all these companies, every time I go to a conference, it's like, is it going to work on Linux? And now they're starting to say, yeah, we're working on it. You know, 18 months from now, it's probably going to run on Linux. I'm like, that's great, because 3 years from now when we do our next hardware refresh, hopefully everything that we need runs on top of Linux. And they've already been using all of those applications on top of Windows, Linux, or Macintosh at home, and it will be very easy just to say, just put Linux on the desktop, because everything we use in education runs on Linux. So that equity thing runs on everything, to me, is probably the most important aspect about why would you want to use open source, because it provides equity for every kid. Okay, I'm down to 9 minutes here. So I'm going to go real fast. Another really cool thing is open source really looks at a 21st century philosophy. So what does that mean? Well, 21st century learners, we're looking at inquiry-based learning. So open source is very much inquiry-based because the kids can get in and they can try stuff out. They can change stuff. They can change the code. Very wonderful. It's all about collaboration. You know, open source, what's an open source project? How many people are involved in programming the Linux kernel? Or OpenOffice, or GIMP? How many people are actually involved in that process? That's a big-time collaboration thing. It's all about community. You're part of the community when you start doing open source. It's project-based. We can take those same types of things into the classroom. Project-based learning and open source is definitely project-based. We find something that's got to be done, and we get together as a community, we collaborate, and we accomplish a task. That's not bad for 21st century learners. So there's a quick video. I'm probably not going to watch this, but it's talking about folks my age as 21st century learners. And it's a great little video, so I'll show just a quick clip of it. It's as loud as it gets, unfortunately. So 21st century learners, open source fits very well into the 21st century learner environment. That's a great little video because we're all 21st century learners. So here's some reasons why that we can actually use open source. You can be a user. You can be a beta tester. And I tell this to people in schools, if you're going to do open source, be a part of the community. Go beyond being a user. You can be a documentation creator. Of all of our programmers are here, how much do you like creating the documentation? I don't see anybody raising their hand saying, oh, we got one back here.
Yeah, buddy.
So the documentation is key. All right? It's people have to do the documentation. Code contributors. Our students can do code contribution. You can do the code contribution if you have the skill set. You're all parts of that community. Big reasons to use open source. Real quick, how did we do it? We looked at total cost savings and value add. We save or provide services to the tune of about $125,000 a year by using open source. I would not have a class or an online course management system like Moodle if I had to use a proprietary piece of software. My Moodle server has 360 courses, and we have 4,000 users. I only have 3,800 kids in the district. Over 2,000 kids access our Moodle server every single day. There's no way I could do that on the competition. I called to get a quote. Over $50,000 a year for the type of stuff that we're currently doing. Can't go there. Got to show a compelling reason. You have to. People aren't just going to do it just because you say so. There's got to be a good reason to go there. Target your enthusiastic early adopters. Spend time with those people, because those people are going to go out and promote how well it's working in their classroom. Math teacher at the high school ever, geometry. He's used LTSP with Moodle and given every geometry test for the last 3 years. He uses Linux 100% in his classroom. He's using, instead of Geometer Sketchpad, he's using GeoGebra that integrates into the Moodle environment. So that's an early adopter who is very passionate about what he's doing. Find creative uses. Another quick story, and Brandt, I'm going to go over a couple minutes. How many of your classrooms watched the inauguration? Okay. So in my district, we have one school that has cable TV. And so the week before inauguration, teachers started emailing me, what are you going to do to make sure that my kids can watch the inauguration? And I'm like, oh, this is not good. Because they're like, oh yeah, we'll just stream CNN. And my department went, yeah, right, you and 40 million people all over the world are going to stream CNN. It ain't going to work. And it didn't work. It became a huge problem. So we said, oh, VLC. How many people are using VLC? How many have never heard of VLC? It's called the VideoLAN client. It's the best media player on the planet. It plays just about everything. So what we did is we put a HowPage video capture card into a computer at the high school. And for you techies, I'm going to use a few technical terms. For all you non-techie people, just skip that part and we'll move on. So we put the capture card in, we hooked it up to the cable TV, we hooked up the CNN channel. And it was legal for us to do it because the cable company is supposed to provide cable to all of my classrooms. And they haven't done that because they won't pay for last mile connections. So I said, we got to do something. Then we set up VLC to capture the stream that was coming off that HowPage card. And we actually had that stream going to a file on the computer. Well, VLC will read a file that is changing. And so we just pointed VLC at that file and we said, okay, we have four remote sites through WAN connections on 100 meg fiber. So let's take an HTTP stream and shoot it out to each one of those buildings. Then we set up a computer in each building that grabbed that stream off the HTTP side, and we set it up to do a multicast stream on a different IP address in the building, and then told all the teachers, open up VLC and point it to this IP address. Then we said, okay, the main campus, there's so many subnets, we don't want to go put a computer on every subnet. So we sent two more HTTP streams down to two computers in my office. And then we said, each one of those computers is going to do HTTP streaming on a different address. And half the campus got one address, half the campus got the other address. When all was said and done, we were streaming from one computer to 700 machines throughout the district. Not a flaw at all. The video quality was perfect, and it worked for everybody. Audio was perfect. They all got to watch the entire thing. Then we took that captured file when we were all done, and people said, you know, we really want to see the speech again. And so with VLC, you can actually play something back using timestamps. And so we said, okay, let's put an infinite loop that's going to play just the speech. And we left it up for a week. And teachers could go to that IP address, and they could watch the speech over and over and over. That whole project cost me $108. Because we didn't have a TV capture card, so we had to go buy one. That's the power of open source in finding creative uses for it. I've streamed DVDs across the entire network just to see what happens. High-end DVDs. And sitting on my desk, 10 miles from the school across the WAN link, it looked like I was playing the DVD locally. Very powerful tool. The other attitude we have is install it and they will come. So we put probably 30 different open source applications on every image. And people start looking, well, what's that? And so they open it up and they play with it. And some teachers have gone, wow, that GIMP thing, that's pretty cool. And so then they start to use it. So install it. Just put it out there, let people use it. Were there bumps in the road? The biggest bump you're going to face is attitude. Teachers, for you teachers in the room, I'm sorry to say this, but teachers are the worst about attitude. If it's not like I've been doing for the last 20 years, don't make me do it. Okay? Teachers don't do change well. Am I true there? I mean, teachers are, when it comes to change, they're probably one of the worst groups of people on the planet. And I know this to be true because I did it for 14 years. Your tech staff and your teachers, how many tech staff balk at putting open source stuff on machines? You got to get buy-in from your technicians. Students, is it a problem, guys, for you?
Sometimes depends on the program.
From my experience, for the most part, kids are going to use whatever you put in front of them. And the cool part is kids have a gamer's attitude. Y'all know what the gamer's attitude is? If I die, I get to try again and solve the problem. In education, we don't work that way. If you fail the test, dang, you're in big trouble. We don't give kids the opportunity to solve the problem and do it again. That's why I love gaming. Because you can do it again and solve the problem. Am I right?
Yeah.
You know, you die and it's like, okay, I saved a back three steps from there. I'm going to go back and I'm going to take this guy out. Right? We don't do that in education. So kids do pretty well. Parents. Usually parents are going to do what kids tell them to do. They're like, Dad, we're using this software at school and you can download it. Please download that so I don't have to deal with problems when I get back to school next time. And you have to have some support. You got to be able to support that project. You've got to have people in your district that people can go to when GIMP throws a curveball or OpenOffice throws a curveball. And this is where those passionate early adopters come in so handy. I have a teacher who is just an incredible GIMP person. And when somebody calls me and says, I want to do this in GIMP, I don't know how to do it, I say, call Tim. Tim can tell you. And Tim's great about working with teachers on that. So let's go back one. For us, instructional types of things we're doing. Moodle is probably the greatest thing since sliced bread. 3 minutes. Okay, I'm there. Two slides left. Audacity. We create a lot of podcasts using Audacity. Very powerful tool. OpenOffice, across the board, everywhere. GIMP on every computer. No way could I put Photoshop on everything. We have Photoshop in one lab at the high school. Everything else gets GIMP. And then we have a lot of older kids using FreeMind. FreeMind is a great mind mapping software for older kids. Works wonderfully well. I used FreeMind to map out this whole presentation even before I put it into a slideshow. And then I said, export it as a slideshow. And then I just had to clean it up a little bit. Server-side, Linux. We are Linux and NetWare right now, and by the end of the summer we'll be all Linux with, of course, 3 Windows boxes for the business and HR people that have proprietary stuff that they run. Apache for web services, MySQL, Drupal for our website, an amazing content management system. I'll be doing a Drupal session on the other side over here at about 1:35 this afternoon, talking about what we're doing with Drupal. We use web for communications. PHP ESP is a great little survey tool. And PHP List is a wonderful listserv application that lets you send out newsletters and stuff all the time, but parents get to sign up themselves. They don't deal with that. They do it themselves. There's my contact information. You can find my slideshow up there. I'd had a great time here today. I'm glad that Brian had me come out. And thanks again for listening to me ramble on.